Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show with your host Blake Arney alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen. John, it's the first day of spring here in Kansas City. How are you feeling?
It's good. Again, you know, I feel like every single time we do this show, it's beautiful outside, 75 and sunny. You know, we've got March Madness coming up here and another good week of training and playing my former club in LA Galaxy. So I'm excited for the match this weekend.
I was going to say, John, you know, March Madness coming up. Obviously, when this goes out, March Madness, the first round will have already happened. And so for all of you listening, I hope you know if you're listening on Friday, my bracket is probably still perfect. I am, you know, known to have amazing bracket predictions. And if you can look at my shirt here, obviously you guys can't see on video right now, but I do have a Nebraska shirt on. I'm a proud graduate of the University of Nebraska who is going to break the curse, the only Power 5 team to have never won an NCAA tournament game. I will be in Memphis to watch history as Nebraska takes down Texas A&M, John. I could not be looking forward to it anymore.
You will be in Memphis. That's awesome. I mean, I obviously went to Southern New Hampshire online, so I can't really claim that. But my whole family are Jayhawk fans, and I'm a big KU basketball fan myself. So I'm excited to see how they do in the tournament this year. I'm kind of different and difficult year for them this year. But ever since the NIL stuff, I just think my bracket's probably going to be busted in the first game. Like, I just don't know any of these teams. I feel like anybody can beat anybody. I'm excited for it. I mean, it's always nice. Then you got the Masters right after. I mean, there's a ton of good sports coming here in spring.
Yeah, I think KU definitely not their best year this year. Obviously, probably a lot of KU fans out there. K-State, sadly, not in it this year. Mizzou, the less we talk about Mizzou basketball, probably the better. But, you know, looking forward, John, have you filled out a bracket yet? Obviously, we're filming this on Wednesday, so you've still got time. But have you filled out a bracket yet?
So I've got two brackets. I haven't. I watched some of the playing games last night. So just trying to get a feel for it. And then I'm going to fill out a bracket. I'm sure KU, I'll have KU going a lot further than they actually do. But either way, it's one of my favorite times of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got no spoilers. Obviously, it'll be late enough by the time this goes out. I've got Houston winning it all. I feel like they definitely are a team that is hard to beat this year unless you're Iowa State. But
after Iowa State, man, they got blown out.
I feel like it's just putting that fire underneath them. That's all they needed, right? This is all completely wrong. I bet you by the time this goes out, John, Houston will probably have already lost.
I'll take it.
That's my luck, I bet. Hey, as a Nebraska fan, I would take it if Houston lost, because that means if we win, we'd be playing a 16 seed and not Houston. So, you know, we probably, though, should probably get into the important stuff here on the Sporting Kansas City Show, John. We've got a big match to talk about. Sporting Kansas City with their first win in 2024, 2-1 over San Jose. They continue to stay undefeated. I mean, what are some of your takeaways from that big win?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they looked good again. I think we've talked about it every single week. Peter wants to see them sharper. He wants to see them continue to grow each week, and he wants them to kind of build that identity as they move forward with the games. And I think they've been doing that. I think we always talk about goals, and they've kind of achieved these first couple that we've discussed in previous weeks. But now it's first win, right? And it's first win at home. So I think you've now accomplished that goal as well. And I think I still don't know if the front three are clicking in all cylinders quite yet, but it doesn't matter because they got that first win. You get Alan Pulido with a great goal and a great team goal. And I think that might be the confidence that he needs to go on a run like he did last year. And not only that, I mean, you had some other key individual performances in Tim Melia and obviously Danny Rosero getting that goal. It was good to see, Voltaire back in there. So I just think that overall, it was a good performance to build on as they go into kind of the stretch where I don't know if I can say they're easy games. I mean, a Galaxy has the same record right now as Sporting Kansas City do. So I think it's another difficult task. But these are games that I could see, you know, home games, teams past the Galaxy who might be struggling. So I think that they've got a chance here to really build some momentum and build on the success that they've had in these first few games.
Absolutely, they do. I mean, that Galaxy team looks very dangerous right now. We'll talk about that in a later segment, obviously. But I want to start with that Danny Rosero goal. Sporting Kansas City, of course, went down 1-0, pretty early on in this match. It looked like from the looks of things, head coach Peter Vermees was not happy with the way the team started the game. They were giving the ball away a lot. We actually got a really good look at it, John, on the Behind the Shield this week. Obviously, it hasn't officially gone out since I'm releasing this. I got a little sneak peek at the Behind the Shield, though. But the video crew and the creative team here at Sporting Kansas City do such a good job with the Behind the Shield. They have put out a video week in and week out, starting in the preseason, kind of getting a, you know, behind the curtain look at this Sporting Kansas City team, the things that go on behind the scenes in the locker room at halftime, pregame, postgame, all that kind of stuff. And they package it all together kind of in a Hard Knocks-esque video with all kinds of interviews and so much of a look at, you know, getting to know the players on this team for SKC. And, you know, getting to look at that, Peter Vermees was talking in that beginning portion of the game, how he was frustrated. If you haven't already, by the way, seen that video, go check it out on Sporting Kansas City's YouTube, and you can see exactly the part that I'm talking about. He was not thrilled with the way the team started the game. However, they bounce back, and they get a goal through Danny Rosero on a corner kick. This match had set pieces written all over it from the first couple of goals, with San Jose scoring off a set piece, and now Sporting Kansas City scoring off a set piece from Danny Rosero. And can we just talk about how dangerous Danny Rosero is in the box, in the air? He scored 4 goals for SKC. All 4 have been headers. I mean, at some point, don't you think teams just double team him and just don't let him get the ball in the air?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, right? Like, it's very possible teams are going there going, we cannot let Danny Rosero touch the ball on these corner kicks. But the problem with that is now it opens up space for somebody else. So I think regardless of if Danny Rosero scores or not, he's such a threat that he's going to open up opportunities for other players on the pitch. And not only that, I agree with you and I agree with what Peter said. I think the first 15 minutes, if you rewatch the match, that Sporting Kansas City, they were sloppy. They were giving the ball away. They were passing balls out of bounds. I mean, even in the first 30 seconds, there was kind of an errant pass, you know, that obviously could have caused trouble. So I think after they score that first goal on the set piece, Sporting Kansas City kind of changes their mentality a little bit, and then they get the set piece of their own. And I think that's when things started to click. Passing was there. They started to take over possession again. First 15 minutes, San Jose had all the possession. So I think that, you know, sort of that first goal allowed lit a fire under their belly, right? And it said, okay, we're down a goal. We've got to band together. And I really love the fact that they were able to score right away and then obviously get the win. Kind of shows you what this team is made of.
Absolutely. That switch flipped, it felt like, after they scored that goal. They started, well, even before they scored that goal, they were dominating possession, scored the goal, and then just some beautiful buildup. You talked about it at the beginning of this show, the beautiful buildup in that goal that Alan Pulido scored. He gets off the mark in 2024. I think that goal is going to be one we look back at later in the year. And first off, talk about how beautiful of a goal it is in that buildup. And second off, talking about how important it is for Alan Pulido to get off the mark early in this season.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a beautiful goal. And, you know, I want to throw out some key performances here. I thought, obviously, Tim Melia with another really good game. I mean, he had 1.5 expected goals, obviously only allowed 1 goal. So he had 6 saves in the match. I mean, just, you know, his presence back there, it has been huge so far. I mean, throughout his entire career with Sporting Kansas City, but even this year alone, like, I think a lot of the success has been because of Tim Melia. And then, you know, I think Danny Rosero, for me, might have been man of the match. He obviously gets the goal. He's fantastic defending. He's got 94% passing. I mean, that's obviously very good for a center back. And then, you know, Volador coming in, you know, and replacing Fontas, I thought he had a really solid game. I thought that he kind of fit right in, right? It was like they didn't have a, you know, a replacement or anything. He's been in the lineup. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then, you know, Tommy's obviously has had a fantastic year. I really love the way that he's attacking, but I love the way that he's getting back and defending as well. I mean, he's kind of all over the pitch. And I did really like the way that Johnny Russell played. I think I was a little critical of him against LAFC. And I think that obviously getting the assist and it kind of his work rate throughout the match, I thought he did have a good one. So I wanted to definitely point that out.
Yeah, Robbie Volader stepping in for Andreu Fontas. The injury, of course, to Fontas. We'll have to see if he is healthy for the matchup against the Galaxy, because Robbie Vollater, like you said, stepped into the match and was a very solid piece to this team. There was one shaky moment out of the halftime where he let a ball go. I think he thought Tim Melia was a lot closer than he was, and it ended up being a giveaway to, I believe it was Abobasi, who didn't do the best with the chance. And those are the moments when, you know, as a, it's probably just communication. They'll knock some of those things out, but felt like Vollater did fill in well overall in that left center back spot.
Yeah, I did too. And I made the joke during the match that he was just padding Tim Melia's stats there, but I think it might've been a little bit of miscommunication. That's going to come with time. I mean, like I said, that's his first start of the season. Sure. You might say, well, he played a little bit in preseason, but you know, I think regardless, he had a really solid match. And I think that we're just seeing players, I mean, Memo Rodriguez as well, another good game. And I think we're seeing players that can come in off the bench when needed and have success, which I think is going to be crucial for Sporting Kansas City down the line in terms of load management. You've got congested schedules. You know, it's going to be good to see these guys come in and get early minutes when they're needed down the line.
Yeah, we're starting to get closer to the time of year when, you know, you have maybe the midweek matches in the Open Cup, or you're going to have the midweek matches in Major League Soccer. Not quite there yet, but eventually we'll get to that point, and that's when you're going to have to use some of that load management, players playing in certain matches and not playing in others. Of course, you talk about players off the bench. Steven Afrifa is one that we got to see a little bit in this match. I didn't think he 100% worked his way into this one in the way that we've seen, or we will totally see from Steven Afrifa. But it's interesting because we're going to have to see with Johnny Russell picking up a little bit of a knock. That's why Afrifa came into this match. Russell wasn't in training on Tuesday. We'll see throughout the week if he's in training. But if he's not healthy, it's probably going to be Steven Afrifa jumping into that spot. Of course, Alanis Vargas on international duty with Honduras won't be available. So it's going to be Afrifa's spot most likely. We talked to him during the week and he talked about how he prepares the same for every match, whether he's coming off the bench or he's starting or whatever it may be. But he seems like he's hungry to get minutes and he's hungry to get touches going forward to create chances.
Yeah, I really think they have something special in Vargas for one and Afrifa in, you know, for two. I think that they just bring a different energy. And like you said, I think they're both extremely hungry. So I really like that Peter made those subs at the end of the game. I think that the load management with Memo and Valtero was brilliant, in my opinion. I do think that Johnny Russell will somehow be a part of this team this weekend, whether it's starting or coming off the bench like he did with Valtero. I think, you know, regardless, he's a captain. He's one of the, you know, the biggest leader on the team, and he's a warrior, you know. And so I don't know how bad it was and so forth, but I still see him somehow finding a way to be a part of this team this weekend. But like we just mentioned, it goes to show you that there are subs that can come off the bench and hopefully here soon we'll see make a difference. But in terms of looking comfortable out there, so far, every sub has.
Yeah, Johnny Russell is a player that if he can find his way to be on the pitch in the match, no matter how much he's hurting, he's going to do his best to find a way to get there out on the pitch because he, yeah, like you mentioned, is an absolute warrior. And so that's something that we're going to monitor, obviously, throughout this week. And then when this episode goes out on Friday, hopefully we have a little more information and listeners can know a bit more about the likelihood of Johnny Russell starting in that match against the Galaxy. But John, a big point of emphasis in this match against San Jose was closing out the match. And yeah, they were able to do it. They close out the match and for the first time this season, obviously they closed out two draws on the road. And for the first time this season, close out a win. I think that one was huge. Of course, there was the moment that it looked like maybe they weren't going to close out the match because of the goal called back for a handball offside. It was both, I think, after going to VAR. That was nervy. But overall, I think it's a big weight off this team's shoulders to be like, okay, look at how we closed this match. We can do that going forward. While it's great to win games by a lot of goals and be able to not have to worry about closing it out in the nervy last couple of minutes, it was good to see this team close out a match late.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, obviously with the handball and also probably offside in my book, they call that goal back and Sporting Kansas City gets the win 2-1. I thought that they did better at time management this match. I think they were, you know, when the ball went out for a throw in, they were a little slower to go pick it up. I mean, these are just part of the game. Everyone does it. Just time management. Same thing with the goal kick. I think what they didn't do against Philly that they did against San Jose was they took the ball to the corner, they shielded it, they tried to get a corner kick, they tried to get a throw in, waste a little more time. I think that just, you know, that's something Peter obviously talked about. Like I mentioned the other week, is ball goes out for a goal kick for maybe San Jose, you know, just bring that ball back on the pitch, make them kind of run and get that ball and waste a little more time. And that's something that I think Peter emphasizes. But at the same time, I will say they can still do a little bit better job of it. I mean, there were some moments in the 90th minute where they gave the ball away or, went to go shoot it or whatever it might be and still allowed San Jose with a couple chances. So I think it's getting better. I mean, we've talked about it every week. You know, they're not going to be at the top form. They're not going to have all the answers right now, and they shouldn't. But it's good to see that they're still continuing to get better every week, right? They're continuing to work on the things that they didn't do the prior week. So it was good to see them have a little bit better time management.
It's those 10 matches into the season that Peter Vermees says he starts to really know and judge what kind of team he has. 4 weeks into the year, if they're near the top or, you know, closer to the top of the Western Conference after those 10 matches, it's a lot easier to fix things and to go forward from that, as opposed to last season where after 10 matches, just 3 points. SKC's already doubled their point total from last season's first 10 matches.
Yeah, well, I think he has a better idea of his team this year than he did last year. And obviously for good reason. Most of the players are back, right? It's a pretty consistent group. But I think you look at, they've done everything, you know, so far. They've come from behind. They've had a good result on the road. They had a really good shutout on the road. You know, they got their first win at home. So they had a heartbreak ending to a game. I mean, there are all these things that are continuing to build to shape this team for them to be resilient throughout the season and build that identity. And I think Peter already has a good sense of what he's got and who he's got. So I think now it's, okay, how about these players off the bench, right? Who's he got off the bench and how can they contribute to the team?
Absolutely, John. We'll have to monitor a little bit with this team as well, injuries, because that's something that as you get into this part of the season, those become more important and see how SKC manages them. Of course, with Andreu Fontas missing the last match, Johnny Russell hopefully getting in, you know, getting back into health, playing in this match, but we'll have to see. Also, Fontas, we aren't 100% certain of his availability heading into Saturday. So obviously those are some things to monitor, but we will have to just keep an eye on that as the week goes on, John. It looks like, for the most part, SKC more healthy than maybe they have been in past seasons.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, sure, you're going to get knocks and stuff here and there. And, guys are going to get injured throughout the season. But looking back at last year compared to now, it looks like the team's extremely fit. And it looks like they're pretty healthy for the most part, other than a couple knocks here and there. Nothing super major, you know, knock on wood. But I think regardless, Peter and his staff and his fitness staff have done a great job in preseason, have done a great job in the offseason. Whatever the program that they put together for that, definitely had these guys coming in a lot healthier and fitter into preseason, had a super good preseason, healthy preseason, and other than a couple knocks that you're going to get in games, right? I mean, you're going to get kicks. You're not seeing too many, like, hamstring stuff or muscle injuries. You're getting more, like, kicks and knocks and slide tackles and stuff like that where guys are nursing bruises, bone bruises, stuff like that. So I think overall it's a good sign to see.
Well, we definitely saw a lot of hamstrings last season. So hopefully SKC can avoid the hamstring bug here early in 2024. And let's be honest, throughout all of 2024, John. But that is about all we got here in this first segment. We will take a quick break. And when we come back, had a great conversation with Sporting Kansas City homegrown Jake Davis. So stay tuned here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Hello and welcome back to the Sporting Kansas City Show, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you haven't already, make sure you're following Sporting Kansas City on all socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. And we are now joined by Jake Davis here on the SKC Show. Jake, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Happy to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here. So I asked Tim Melia this last week, this same question. I'm sure you'll have a little bit of a different answer because your lives are a little bit different with your, you know, difference in age and everything, stages of life. But as soon as you're done with training, you know, you get out, get all changed and everything, get out these doors. What's a normal day in the life of Jake Davis?
Well, I'd say, honestly, it depends. It's not, you know, I think some of the older guys have not different jobs, but they do different things to make an income outside of training, out of soccer. And so I'm not there yet. But honestly, it's kind of whatever I'm feeling. I try to stay busy, whatever that means. I don't know, when there's soccer on, I watch soccer every day. If there's obviously there's an international break now, but if there's a game on, I'm watching it, or it's on the background, and I'm just hanging out in my apartment. Honest, if I'm being honest here, it's no point not to be, but pretty close friends with Gianluca Busio, so him and I every day, when he's done with training, we'll get on Xbox and we'll play. I mean, him and I play anything. We play PGA, golf, Madden, Fortnite. I mean, FIFA. Like, it honestly just depends what we're feeling or how bad we're playing a game, and we're like, all right, we gotta switch over to something else. But yeah, I'll probably do that most of the day. Clean my apartment, cook dinner, put on a movie, put on a show. Usually, I'd say if I'm watching a show, that kind of takes up most of my day. But other than that, not much. Just kind of staying busy, you know, keeping everything clean in my apartment and just hanging out.
Does that get tricky with the time zone differences with Boos?
No, I mean, it's not as bad as I thought it would once he moved away, because when I get back from training, it's like, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock there. So, and he's not going to bed yet, so there's time. But yeah, it's not as bad as I anticipated when he first moved away.
Sure, that gets pretty competitive, doesn't it?
Yeah, most of the time we're on the same team, but okay. Like when we play Madden or FIFA or something, it can go either way, which is kind of funny. So it makes the time go by a lot faster when you're having fun. So it kind of kills the day.
Absolutely. So you guys, you get your first win of the season this last week against San Jose. How did it feel to get all 3 points in, especially in front of that home crowd?
Yeah, it was great. I think obviously our first home game, unlucky not to get 3 points. I thought we deserved it. But I thought it was a great game for us, the first game. And now second home game, obviously start of the game was pretty choppy. And I think it was a positive thing that, you know, obviously not good. We concede on a set piece and we go down, but we find a way back to end the half in a winning position. And then throughout the game, absorb pressure, manage the game very well. And especially, you know, with a great atmosphere, a full stadium, to leave with 3 points against obviously a tough San Jose team, even though they haven't won a game yet, they're still a very good team, and that's a hard result to get and really important for us, though, and I'm really glad that we were able to do that.
And, you know, head coach Peter Vermees talks a lot about how he wants you guys to, you know, take the game to the opponent and hold a lot of the possession and dictate the pace of play in those home matches. How do you guys think you've done that thus far?
Yeah, I think most of our games, you know, we have, for the most part, taken it to the other team, and I think another way to put that is just we play our game. You know, I don't think we change the way we're going to play against a different team. We know that we can keep the ball. We know we can score very good goals. We can find chances, and obviously, like you saw in the San Jose game, we put a string of passes together to lead to a really good goal. And, yeah, as he said, we got to take it to them, and I think just by playing the way we do, most of the time we take it to them. And obviously, like the San Jose game, if things aren't going the way we expect or we can't find a way to play our game, we absorb, we manage, and, you know, are patient enough to find a way to find our moments to do what we needed to do. So,
and how has your relationship with Peter and the coaching staff kind of, I guess, changed or grown? Obviously, you coming up through the academy, they knew a lot about you. They've seen your growth. And, you know, you signed with the first team, and then you have now worked your way into the starting lineup. How has the coaching staff kind of helped you along the way, or your relationship maybe changed with them?
No, I think they've always been supportive of me, and they've always been very good at trying to make sure that I'm always competing, always trying to become a better player. And I wouldn't say my relationship has changed. I think, obviously, that I'm playing more now. There's a lot more communication on what, you know, what I need to achieve in the game, what my approach should be. But also, you know, growing up through the academy, through the second team, and when I first signed, I also played a different position. So there's different things that I'm taking in from them, different pieces of coaching bits that they're communicating to me. But now that I play a different position, I think it's a different type of communication of what I'm trying to achieve in training, what I need to take from the last game I played in, and what I can do more in the next game. So I think my relationship with them is really good, And I think that, you know, especially I'd say I'm a coachable player. I like to take in a lot of information. I'm really open to, you know, constructive criticism. Like, you know, I don't get offended when a teammate, a coach, a staff has something to say about my game. I think that anything that anyone has to say is valuable to help me take it in and reflect on how I'm playing and how what I can do better.
And so you talk a little bit about the change in position. I feel like from the broadcasting side of things, we always hear every match that about how you've shifted into this right back position. It's yeah. It's kind of been a change, but you've done it pretty seamlessly well. I mean, talk about how that has happened, and maybe did it just stem from you wanting to get on the field?
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, if you would have asked me 2 years ago, would I see myself playing right back for the first team? I don't know if I would have looked at you crazy, but I would have said along the lines of what you just asked me, like, if that's what it takes, then I'm, you know, I'm very willing to learn the position and try to do my best I can there. But, no, I think I've played outside back before with the second team when they were in the USL with Naga. I've played right back for Benny before with the MLS Next Pro team. And, yeah, I think when I got my opportunity last year against Tulsa Athletic, I obviously didn't play midfield, but, you know, I got a chance to be on the field, and I wasn't – it would have been silly of me to go out there and, I'm playing right back. This doesn't mean anything. They're not judging me on my performance because I'm playing a different position. I just went out there, and I tried to grab the chance by both my hands and do everything I could to help the team win, and I thought I did well that game, and it just led to more opportunities. And obviously you get more opportunities, and I think the way I think, I'm always just trying to improve, and if that's where they were going to play me, then I need to do the best I can to take in information, learn the position, learn from each game, each opportunity I'd gotten, and I think from there on I've continued to do that. You know, obviously people do say a lot, wow, this kid has switched positions and stuff, but it's not like, you know, now I'm like, yeah, I can play right back. I'm still just taking in every piece of advice as a defender because obviously, you know, in a formation when you go from midfield to defense, it's a different type of aspect of how you look at the game. So, yeah, I think I'm always just trying to learn new things.
Were there any players? I know Graham Zusi kind of had a somewhat similar situation where he didn't play right back and ended up, you know, the later parts of his career playing right back. Did he kind of help show you some of the ropes, or was there anyone else that was guiding you along that way?
Yeah, I think Zusi, obviously, when he was here, played a big, big role in helping me and guide me to, I just say, like, setting, like grounding me and teaching me, like, the not the basics, but, like, the staples of a defender and being a right back. And it wasn't always after practice, hey, Jake, this is what it wasn't, you know, just, you know, you don't usually do that. I think that something would happen in a game, something would happen in training, and he'd pull me aside and just say, hey, this situation, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I think over time, all those lessons and bits of advice just added up to just great lessons from him, and I've taken everything that he said in, and along not just with Zeus, but even Roger, all the guys, I mean, even the guys on the team now who aren't defenders, who are defenders, I think everyone's been really good at communicating things to me about what I can do better, what I am doing good, and, you know, saying things like, keep it up, this is what also can change, and not just the players, the coaches. I mean, everyone, I think that's how our team is. Everyone's trying to make each other better. So,
speaking of communication, playing right back, you're next to Danny Rosero, who, for those people listening, doesn't speak a whole lot of English. He's Colombian. So how's your Spanish? I mean, how's that communication with him? How does that work, I guess?
I actually downloaded Duolingo in the off season, and then when we were preseason, I kind of started it. And I don't think, as well as Duolingo is, as good as an app it is, it's not necessarily the words you're trying to learn as a soccer player. So I'd say my Spanish, I can't say anything right now. But I think
okay.
In the games, there's just a lot of situations that can happen that when Danny talks to me, I know what situation he's talking about, and I can kind of depict what happened, what he wants to happen. Obviously, there's a lot of hand gestures, but I think from the time I first started to play with him to now, there's a lot more understanding between us. And I don't think before, when him and I would play together when I first started playing, I had no idea what he was saying. I would always find a way, whether that was Google Translate, grabbing Fonty to help me. But I think I've always found a way to make sure I understand what he's saying in the game and training and even when we're joking around off the field. So
yeah, has Fonty been a big help in all of that?
Yeah, for sure. Fonty speaks really good English, and obviously he speaks Spanish fluently. So, yeah, he's always there to translate and help every defender.
You connect a lot also up that right side with Johnny Russell. I'm sure communication there can be tough sometimes with that Scottish accent as well.
Yeah, no one can understand him.
No, but you talked about the goal that you guys scored. You connected with Johnny. How has that connection grown as you have talked about wanting to be able to get up the pitch as well and be a part of the attack?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Johnny, again, like most of my teammates, him and I communicate a lot about not just offensive stuff, defensive stuff, and you know, what we're both supposed to be doing and what, you know, when times we can both be doing more. And so I think in the game, especially the goal we just scored against San Jose, kind of a transition goal. I know that they have less numbers back. And speaking about San Jose, no less numbers back, it's time for me to go forward. And I don't know, I'm not saying that's something that just comes in natural, but I think as a defender, when I've watched other players in Europe and in the league, sometimes you just take shots to go forward. And it's not like I had the amazing pass to Allen, but I think that obviously I helped him with the combination to get free and to find that ball. But, yeah, him and I talk a lot about it, and I think we just have a good understanding of the balance between, you know, I'm a defender at the start of the day and I am at the end of the game, and he's an attacker, so he's going to be going forward more. But if I can support him and help him get free and help him get the ball more, that's what we're going to do.
How have you kind of learned as you've shifted into the right back spot? Obviously, you're still learning this whole time, but how have you learned how to pick your moments to go forward?
Yeah, I've talked a lot about that, I think, at the end of the season and kind of now. I do like to go forward. I like to run. I like to run forward. I like to get back. But I think, like I just said when you just asked this last question, I'm a defender at the start of the game and at the end of the game, and that's kind of what I've been taking in lately at the start of the season. Sometimes I have picked good moments to bomb forward and try to get in an overlap run or get the ball in behind, but there have also been plays in games where it's not needed. I don't need to be the guy to get the ball there. My job at the start of the game, at the end of the game, is to be a defender, keep the goal out of the net, or keep the ball out of the net. So I think, yeah, that's what I've been trying to put into my game lately, picking my moments better in the attacking half.
And so, speaking of keeping the ball in the net, the Galaxy have a lot of players that have been dangerous this season. You guys have that matchup against the LA Galaxy. When you approach a match, especially, I mean, I feel like week in and week out, we talk about each team having a dangerous winger. It feels like me and Connell were just talking off of the air about how most players in Major League Soccer that are very dangerous play on the wing. And so, you as a fullback, how do you approach each match? Is it different when you're approaching each winger, or is it kind of a general, okay, these guys tend to do these certain things well?
Yeah, I think obviously it's easy to say, oh man, I'm playing against Bowanga. You know, I mean, obviously quality player, one of the best players in the league. But I try not to put so much pressure on that. I just try to look at the player I'm playing against, not the name, where they've been. I think the staff and I do a pretty good job communicating the strengths of each player, the weaknesses. And so each game, you know, I do my own research. I watch old games. I watch clips. And, every game, whoever it's against, I try to prepare the same way. I study my opponent. I study the players they play around, what they'd like to do on the ball, off the ball. And I don't try to make more of it. I don't try to make, you know, I'm playing against this guy, I'm playing against that guy, oh, wow. It's just more – and I don't think that's a disrespectful thing. I just think that that's – a better way to go about it, because I know I'm playing against this guy either way. I need to learn strengths and weaknesses and how I can approach the game against this guy. So, yeah, I think every game is the same.
And you guys as a back line have been very strong this year. You know, haven't given up more than one goal in a match, and you've had a clean sheet this season. I guess assess your performance of that back line thus far.
Yeah, I just think that all of us, we've taken a lot of the momentum from last year and really taken it into this year at the start of the season. And again, all of us are really committed to be better every practice, every game. We're all trying to work on things and make sure we're learning new things from each game, learning new things from each practice. And I think our communication as a back four and Timmy a back five. I think we're really committed to learning things that we need to do in the game to keep the ball out of the net. And I think we've done a good job so far, but we can obviously do better in a lot of other things.
In the Galaxy, you guys played them tough this last year, in both matches, yeah. Really, a 2-2 draw, a 0-0 draw. I guess, what kind of game do you expect?
Yeah, obviously, LA Galaxy, great team, great players. I just think that we need to focus on what we're good at, what we want to go into a game and achieve, and just like any other game we've prepared for this season, know the strengths of the team, figure out how we want to deal with that, and then make sure we execute that in the game.
And you've got back-to-back home matches now for the first time this season. Kind of just talk about what it's like to be out in front of that home crowd and what that atmosphere has been like so far.
I love home games. I don't know. I'm not going to say I can't find the words, but I just say that, you know, walking out of the tunnel in front of everybody, we have a great atmosphere, fans that are with us for 90 minutes, and that's not an easy thing to do, obviously, when the games are high and low. But their presence is noted, and we all appreciate that. It's a 12th man. So, I love home games. I love playing in front of the fans. I love our stadium. I'm always excited to play home games.
You seem to feed a lot off the energy of the crowd, and especially even, you know, some of those matches on the road, it felt like in St. Louis as well. Do you feed off some of the hatred as well?
Yeah, I don't like to say things to get my name out there too much, but I mean, obviously last year playing against Chivas, our stadium was the loudest it's been in a while because of the Sporting fans and the Chivas fans, and I don't know. I love a good atmosphere. I like, I don't know if I'm intimidated, but I do. I like when a crowd is as noisy and it's electric. And I think, again, like what you just said, in St. Louis, same thing, the Chivas game, LAFC. I think that's, as a soccer fan and as a soccer player, it makes it more exciting.
Well, Jake, I really appreciate your time. All right, that is Jake Davis here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be previewing that match against the LA Galaxy here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Hello, and welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Always great talking with Jake Davis. He's always a fun conversation. And off air, of course, another great conversation after we stepped away from the mic. Connell McCourt joined in chatting with Jake, and Connell always gets the best out of the players. He's always a fun guy, John. I know you've been around Connell quite a bit. He always is a great guy to have a conversation with.
He's a good guy, and he really reminds me of Wayne Rooney, to be quite honest with you. So it's
that's
always
a good comparison. He'll appreciate that one, I think.
Well, I know he will, but obviously, you know, Rooney being my former head coach in D.C., I'm like, every time I see him, I'm like, man, Wayne Rooney.
that's good. He'll love this one. And for those of you who don't know, he might be hearing this one before everyone else, as he's probably the one editing this podcast right now. He does some great work for Sporting Kansas City. Certainly someone we want to shout out. So Connell will certainly be at and watching the Sporting Kansas City match against the Galaxy, getting some great video, hopefully, Connell McCourt. But the Galaxy coming into Children's Mercy Park, a place that they've played a number of times, John, and Sporting Kansas City has had some tough matches against this LA Galaxy team. They're a very good team this year. We talked about it in that first segment about how they are very good this year, same record as Sporting Kansas City, have some dangerous attackers going forward. I guess, what do you see in this Galaxy team?
Well, I think it's a different Galaxy team. I think it's a totally revamped squad. I liked their head coach. I think that they've got some great attacking weapons up top. And yeah, like you said, you know, they've got the same record undefeated that Sporting does. So LA Galaxy, Sporting Kansas City, LAFC, I mean, we say it over and over again. These are clubs that expect trophies, that have trophies in the bank, that are top organizations in the league. And so this is just another matchup where both teams expect to win, right? It's not going to be an easy one for either side. But, you know, one thing that's interesting is obviously kind of the last minute goal against San Jose to get a draw last week. I mean, it's something interesting to look at. And then you look at their center back and Caceres getting a red card. So now he's out for this match. So who do they put in there? Do they put Eric Zavaleta in there? He's had some success sometimes, but he's also struggled a lot sometimes. So it's, how is this team going to look on Saturday? And are their stars going to come out to play? Is Ricky Pui going to come out to play? I mean, that's kind of a big key there, obviously. And they got Yoshida in the back now. He brings great leadership. So I think it's a fun one, and I don't know quite what to expect from them, to be quite honest with you, being kind of a revamped squad and looking back at their past few games. But regardless, I think it's a team that's not going to back down.
For those of you who didn't watch that matchup last week between LA Galaxy and St. Louis, it was an absolute thriller, a 3-3 draw. The Galaxy, of course, like you mentioned, John, scoring at the death through Yoshida, their captain, their leader at the back. He, you know, scored a little flicked on header. That was an incredible match, and it's two teams that are going to be dangerous this year. You know, like it or not, Sporting Kansas City fans, St. Louis aren't going away. They're still going to be a team that is competitive in the Western Conference. And that was a good point for the Galaxy, I think, you know, all things considered from that match. So you mentioned the first thing I want to hit on in this matchup coming up against the Galaxy is Caceres getting the red card late in that match. After they equalized, he was on a yellow card. A player, I think it was Sam Adeniran, broke through for St. Louis, and he just completely took him out. It was tactical. He knew exactly what he was doing. Straight red. So it, even though he was on a yellow, it didn't matter. He just got a straight red. And we'll miss this match. A big, big point of emphasis because he scored against Sporting Kansas City last season in that 2-2 draw. Of course, it was a 0-0 draw in the other matchup. I believe that one was at Children's Mercy Park last season early in the year. And he was one of the better players on the field. I mean, Caceres is an experienced defender around Europe. He's now playing in Major League Soccer. The kind of player that you want on the field if you're the LA Galaxy. So the fact that he's missing this match, in my opinion, is a very good sign for Sporting Kansas City, because as you said, there's some things to figure out for the Galaxy's back line. They've already conceded 7 goals this year, tied for third most in Major Leagues, or in the Western Conference rather. Sporting Kansas City haven't been super threatening going forward overall, but they're starting to get into goal scoring form. Alan Pulido's off the mark. If you're taking positive, John, those are some massive positives for me.
Yeah, you said it. I was going to definitely bring that point up. They've allowed 7 goals this year, right? So regardless of if Sporting Kansas City's front three are firing all cylinders yet, I think there's an opportunity there. And I think with Caceres out, there's an even bigger opportunity, right? I don't even know how they're going to look now, because he's been such a big key to their defense, right? Even though they've given up 7 goals. I think one thing to look at with the Galaxy is that they've scored 9 goals. I mean, that's a lot of goals to have scored. I believe that's first in the West right now. So this Sporting Kansas City team, I mean, if you look at it, are going up against right now the top offense in the league, and in the West, and I'd say Sporting Kansas City is the best defense right now. So something to look at, something interesting. And then if you want to look on the other end, I wouldn't say struggling to score, just struggling to create as many chances as they might like against a defense who has had a difficult time keeping a clean sheet. So it's going to be interesting. Can Sporting Kansas City's defense stay hot? You know, can their attack start to catch fire? Same thing. Can the Galaxy's offense continue their streak that they're on, and how are they going to look with their defense? So kind of two storylines there that I really like and that I'm excited about for this weekend.
Yeah, something I'm intrigued about with this SKC attack is obviously with Caceres being out, SKC have to go create more chances, have to score more goals. But the fact of what you mentioned, didn't create a ton of chances against San Jose. However, SKC were efficient with their chances. They scored the 2 goals off of not a ton of chances against San Jose. So if they can continue to do that and the chance numbers go up, you know, efficiency is always going to scale at that rate. So you'd hope that can continue to happen if SKC can continue to test that back line of the Galaxy. But going forward, if you aren't too familiar with the Galaxy's team, Jovalić up top, Dejan Jovalić is a very dangerous player, joined this team not too long ago, has scored 4 goals in 4 matches. He's got a goal in every match thus far in 2024 for the Galaxy. And then Paintsil on the wing. He came over from Genk in this offseason in Belgium, and he is extremely fast. He can finish. He's got a couple of goals this season as well. He's going to be a real handful for Sporting Kansas City's back line.
Yeah, you know, I'd say I agree with you. I mean, Paintsil's probably been their best player so far this year, just in terms of overall production and just what he brings to field. I think Jovalić, I mean, over the past few years, I love this guy. Like, I think he... just his mentality, he's a killer. You know, he just knows how to finish and he can score. So I think that's one guy that Sporting Kansas City is definitely going to have to keep track of. And then obviously Puig, right? Like he, you know, playmaker, Barcelona player. He's a guy who's going to cause a lot of havoc in the midfield, and he's going to pick out passes and he's going to find people. He has two goals as well. So, you know, they have a very good attacking squad. And then you've got Marky Delgado, who's got three assists already. So these are guys who have a couple of them have been in the league for a while now, and they've had success. And if you look at LA Galaxy, they kept the players who have had the most success there and kind of got rid of the rest and brought in all new players. So it's a revamped squad, and it looks like they're, you know, I think head coach Greg Vanney kind of has his squad firing right now, and they just need to clean up their defense. And I think it's going to be a difficult match for Sporting Kansas City. But the good thing is they've had a lot of positives over the last few weeks, and they should have a lot of confidence right now, especially playing at home.
Absolutely. Jovalich, it feels like a true number nine. I don't know if SKC have necessarily faced a true goal-scoring number nine to that extent quite yet this season. I mean, Obobese is a very good goal scorer. I don't know if he was necessarily put in a position with San Jose to be that true number nine, kind of playing alongside Preston Judd. Of course, Denny Bouanga, an incredible goal scorer, but didn't really play at the number nine spot for LAFC when Sporting Kansas City faced off against them. However, SKC, for the most part, shut out and shut down Denny Bouanga. So that's a positive sign when you're talking about these attackers for the LA Galaxy, is that SKC have been somewhat battle-tested thus far in 2024 against these dangerous attackers.
I agree, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's an underdog mentality or what it might be, but, I mean, they really shut down Bouanga, right? You know, one of the top attackers in the league. So I think that for whatever reason, maybe it's game plan, maybe it's just underdog mentality, but – you know, I think that they're going to definitely have a stalwart defense. You know, they're going to be very difficult to break down like they have been all year. And I think, I mean, LA Galaxy is going to have a good plan, you know, game plan to break down Sporting Kansas City, especially at home.
They certainly will. The Galaxy have scored a lot of goals, like you mentioned, the most in the Western Conference thus far in 2024. That's going to be the biggest test so far for SKC's back line. You talk about that midfield battle, Ricky Puig being one of the best midfielders in Major League Soccer. He's a creator. He can get back and kind of sit in that playmaking spot, almost like the Regista spot. You know, we always heard that term thrown around with guys like, you know, Sergio Busquets, those kinds of players. He obviously didn't quite work out the way that Barcelona wanted to, but was happily thrown into this LA Galaxy team. And yeah, he's someone that SKC are going to have to make sure doesn't get too much time on the ball, because if he's given space or he's given an opportunity to pick out a pass, he's going to do it.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not sure he's had the greatest year so far with his passing, but I think he has with his production, obviously scoring two goals. You know, and he's a guy who's a penalty kick taker as well. I believe he's missed one this year. So it's something that Tim Mealy is probably doing a lot of studying of, you know, obviously being the best, in my opinion, PK stopper in the league. So, again, I think that the main thing is going to be, how does Sporting Kansas City deal with their really good attack, best in the West, and how, you know, how does LA Galaxy's defense deal with Sporting Kansas City's front three up top without Caceres? And I really want to emphasize, I think set pieces could be crucial this game as well. You know, I almost said it in our three keys to the match last match, and I ended up just taking it out at the last second. I wanted to add as a fourth, but you know, you obviously see that goals were scored off set pieces and headers from the LA Galaxy game, and you see it from the Sporting game. So I think that that's going to be another crucial part to this match.
It certainly feels like it will be. And John, a little note to add there. I believe the Galaxy have had two penalty kicks this season, have scored neither of them.
Yeah.
So if going into this match, they earn a penalty kick against, like you said, probably the best penalty saver in Major League Soccer history, I don't hate the odds there. So, you know, yeah, just note that.
I don't want to jinx anything, but, you know, like you said, they've obviously struggled with that so far this year. But, you know, I do want to point out some of their matches here. I mean, a 3-3 draw against St. Louis City. St. Louis City had a fantastic year last year, obviously being crosstown rivals with Sporting Kansas City. You know, you look at Nashville, another very difficult opponent, and they draw against them. I think they beat San Jose 3-1, which Sporting Kansas City was able to see as well. So you look back at their first, game, you know, the first match of the season, and it's against a red hot Inter Miami team, right? And they get another draw there, 1-1. So they've played some difficult opponents, as has Sporting Kansas City. So I mean, man, it's going to be a great game. I think this is a great matchup. You know, I think it's going to be difficult for both teams, and I think Sporting Kansas City being at home with their fans, with the cauldron, with, you know, the new additions to the stadium, it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere.
The first time in 2024 that Sporting Kansas City will play back-to-back matches at home. It's got to feel good for these guys to kind of get a little bit of a stretch here. Four of their next five, if you include that San Jose match they won 2-1, are at home. So this is the time of the year where you really got to start picking up points, and you really got to start making that home field a fortress if you're Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, well, Blake, I mean, every point matters, right, throughout the season. I mean, you're taking as many points as possible. You're putting them in the bag. You're trying to get to the middle of the season healthy. You know, you got transfer windows. Then you're trying to make the playoffs, catch fire, and take all those points to the bank. But like you said, keep your home field a fortress. Get 3 points, and then continue to get those away results. And so far, Sporting Kansas City's done that.
Well, we will hope for 3 points as Sporting Kansas City takes on the LA Galaxy on Saturday. If you haven't gotten your tickets already, I believe it's going to be another beautiful day out at the stadium at Children's Mercy Park. We've been really blessed early on in this season with some good weather at Children's Mercy Park. So sportingkc.com/tickets if you haven't already. Go and get your tickets for the match against the Galaxy. Should be one of the better matches of the season between these two teams. We'll have to keep an eye on health as well in this Sporting Kansas City team. Hopefully they can stay healthy coming into this match, and we can see a full starting 11 that maybe started the beginning of the year. It would be really nice to see that for Sporting Kansas City. But that's all we've got here on the Sporting KC Show. Thanks so much for tuning in this week, and make sure to stay tuned every week as we continue every Friday on the Sporting Kansas City Show.